Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hey, and welcome to this Thursday evening program, Friday morning program, somewhere in outer space program. Welcome to the latest edition of The Horn. I'm Bob. It is the 29th day of April. April is almost done, almost over with, almost gone. Spring seems to be in full swing here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful, west by God, almost level Virginia. And it's awful pretty outside. This is one of those where I just, Agnes just about had to take the cattle prod out to get me into the studio. Because this is that time of day when the light around here is just exquisite. And there's nothing quite so pleasant as simply sitting in your cut yard and watching the sun go down. It's one of those things that happens as one gets older, the appreciation of simple pleasures. That's one of them. The simple pleasures end, of course, when the sun goes down and the mosquitoes come out. But we're not even quite there yet. It is just a lovely evening here. I hope it is as lovely wherever it is that you are. Even if winter is starting in on you, as it is for listeners in the southern hemisphere of the planet. It's still fall, right? Yeah, it's autumn. So you should be experiencing some lovely autumn days, one hopes. There are a number of different directions in which we can travel this evening. And perhaps we'll get to a bunch of them, who knows. Nasty business today in the state of Oklahoma, as the law... by the way, I got to back up. In last night's conversation, there was reference to a New York congressman named John Hall. And I was told, you know, that was the guy from Hall & Oates. And I went, what? Really? And old, tired, worn-out DJ with a massive MP3 player stuck between my ears that I am. I actually sort of wondered... when I woke up this morning, wait a minute, his name was Daryl Hall. John Oates, Daryl Hall, John Oates, not John Hall and Daryl Oates, was it? But anyway. No, nasty business out of Oklahoma. Nothing for them to be proud of by any stretch of the imagination. Oklahoma having decided the legislature there to override... the Democratic governor's vetoes, and, you know, a Democrat in Oklahoma, don't get your hopes up. It's not like this guy's some raving liberal. But still, he's a Democrat, and he did do the right thing and veto this woman-hating legislation that the Oklahoma legislature passed. But there are enough wild-eyed freaks, you know, open, drooling, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, right-wing, misogynistic sickos, they overrode the veto. And apparently, you know, I'm flabbergasted by this. overrode the veto by an 81-14 vote in the House. This was a couple of days ago. And by 36-12 in the Oklahoma Senate. This is a bill, of course, that forces women to have things inserted in them in order to get an abortion. Ooh. Sorry, technical issues. I had to deal with a teenage son. The justification for this thing offered by Representative Lisa Billy Repiglican, of course, said the bill does nothing more than give women as much information as possible before they make the life-altering decision to have an abortion. I don't want a single woman to go through... Oh, or is it, I don't want a single woman. I'm not sure. Is there a marriage element of this hateful law? I don't want a single woman to go through the lifelong torture of having an abortion without having all the relevant information. So once she's got the relevant information, according to Representative Billy, once she's got the so-called relevant information, it's okay for her to go through lifelong torture. Do these fools ever even consider the language that comes pouring out of those pie holes in the middles of in the lower center section of their faces? I think not. The Speaker of the Oklahoma House said, "We must move to stop the degradation of human life seen in recent years and stand up for those who cannot defend themselves." Who would that be? Oh, wait, he's thinking, oh, this bozo is convinced that a small wad of tissue is a person. Does this, what's next? If Oklahoma's that concerned about life, are they going to, what are they going to do for little boys in health class? You know, because as the late, great Prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, noted, I think he said, I've wasted entire universes. That's about the size of it. You know, the number of eggs that a female human produces are very much finite. The number of sperm a male can produce, infinite, infinite. Whole universes, as Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, said. So we've got that. The manifestation of open misogyny as set forward, by the state government of Oklahoma. And it leads me to an inquiry. Work with me here. It leads me to wonder about the sickness that pervades our nation. And I really want to try to get this analogy right, so I don't, because I don't like screwing up in general, and I think it's important to get this analogy right. From time to time on this program, you've heard people call in who say the philosophical equivalent, whether it was with regard to the auto manufacturers going south, and or banks, or the whole blessed culture, who have said from time to time the philosophical equivalent of burn, baby, burn. Let it go. I had an email from a dear listener a couple of nights ago, maybe last night. No, it was night before last. Talking about being absolutely unwilling to vote for Barack Obama in 2012, come hell or high water. Because of perceived, and by saying perceived, I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm just talking about perceptions. Because of perceived insufficiency of liberalism. every now and then, that sense manifests itself. And I have to admit that the same sense is manifesting itself in me right now. And I'm struggling with it. I'm not at all comfortable with it. I am struggling with it. And that is, I ask you this. We've all been sick at one point in time or another. We've all had a fever. We've all had a cold. And at some point in time, probably a medical professional or a wise old grandmother or someone along those lines has said, honey, you just got to let it run its course. You hear that a lot with stomach viruses. Just got to let it run its course. Let it get out of you. Let it get done. And if you try to heal it actively, you're just going to stay sick longer. Okay? After all, and I will defer to people with considerably larger, greater medical knowledge than I, folks like our chat room moderator Lottie. A lot of the things that you have when you're sick are not a function of the bug that's in you, but are a function of your body's attempt to rid itself of the bug. A fever, for instance, is an attempt on the part of the body to raise the internal working temperature of your system and make it so unpleasant as to kill the invading critter, be it viral or bacteriological, so that actually lowering the fever makes it easier for the virus or the bug or whatever to continue living. So too with a case of the Republican runs, if you've got something wrong with your guts. If you make it go away, you make it easier for the critter to stay. Now, this is a general statement. It's not in any wise intended to be universal or authoritative. But that's my understanding of, in a way, of how the human body works. I'm not trying to be gross. So the question arises in me, for me, is fascism a political social sickness? And I would submit to you that it is. And that there has never been a country, with perhaps the exception of Spain, which is still struggling to one degree or another with its fascist past, there has never been a country that suffered a case of fascism that has gotten well before the fascism ran its course. Is this making any sense? And I say this looking at things like the Arizona law, and in fact looking at the, God, how many states are there? Looking at the at least seven states that are looking at identical or similar anti-immigrant legislation. Utah is considering it. Representative Stephen Sandstorm. Really? Sandstorm? Not Sandstrom? Okay, I'll take what's printed in front of me. Representative Stephen Sandstorm, Repiglican, says he has the support to do a bill almost identical to Arizona's that will require papers, please. Your papers are not in order. In Georgia, a guy who Malloy says doesn't think has a chance of being the Republican nominee, Nathan Deal, he wants to propose identical legislation to that of Arizona. Colorado gubernatorial candidate Scott McInnes for Pig Lickin' said he'd like to have something just like what Arizona has. Moving east, it's also under consideration in Maryland and Ohio. In North Carolina, local anti-immigrant groups claim that lawmakers have told them the chances are of similar legislation being filed in North Carolina is upwards of 95% certainty. A repiglickin' in Texas, of course, Texas, says she's going to introduce similar legislation in the next legislative session in January. Chris Kobach, the sick right-wing hate group participant bastard who drafts a bunch of this miserable dreck, is likely the author of a law under consideration by the state legislature of Missouri that makes it unlawful for any person to conceal, harbor, transport, or shelter illegal aliens, also making it a crime for undocumented immigrants to transport themselves. Really, to transport themselves. Does that include walking? I don't know. Oklahoma wants in. Nebraska wants in. In California, at a teabagging rally in San Diego County in the city of Ramona, Representative Duncan Hunter wants to repeal the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
It would be so simple to secure the southern border. And we're just going to have to keep fighting, folks. That's all I can say. I mean, we're going to have to fight and fight and fight and fight to let the... We have to talk to the American people who don't believe in having a secure border and tell them this is a national security issue. I didn't want to have the illegal immigration debate. This is a national security issue. Secure the border for me. Prove that it's secure. Prove that nobody can cross it illegally. Then we'll talk about the other stuff. But I'm not even going to enter into that debate until we have security, until we have E-Verify, where we go after businesses. This gentleman asked that. We should go after, make sure every single business has to check with a big database to make sure that all their employees are legal citizens. You want to know why? I talk to contractors every day, great patriotic Americans. They use this voluntarily. They want to make sure that all of their employees are American citizens. That's what they believe in their hearts. Their competitors don't necessarily do that. So they're playing, the guys playing by the rules, the guys being good patriots, are paying $20-$25 an hour to their employees. We're talking construction, electrician. The guys who don't care, they're not doing that. They're paying $5 an hour, $12 an hour. So you got the guys playing by the rules who believe in this country and believe in hiring Americans are getting undercut by half by those guys who will hire the Atlanta. So we got to have E-Verify. Got to make sure that every company is on the same playing field. No way, Ms. Seaman, that's a given. And three, you got to have a secure border. It's not complicated. You just need the political will to do it, and I think that we're gathering that political will now, and this Arizona law is a fantastic starting point. It is fantastic. So, what I'm going to do...
Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil!
You might not care about... I'm going to take questions. Yes, sir.
Yes, Congressman. Would you support deportation of natural-born American citizens that are the children of illegal aliens?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Would I support the deportation?
This is where it matters. Pay attention. Question, would you support deportation of natural-born American citizens that are the children of illegal aliens? There is a term for such children among among the weirdos, the sickos, the mouth breathers, the knuckle walking freaks of the right wing, they call such innocents, who, by God, they want to make sure can't be aborted, but they call such innocents anchor babies. They're anchor babies. They anchor the illegal aliens to our country because the babies get to be American citizens, you see. Anchor babies. This is where it gets serious.
Importation of natural-born American citizens that are the kids of illegal aliens.
Yes.
I would have to, yes.
Listen to the clapping. Would you support deportation of natural-born American citizens that are the children of illegal aliens? Hutter's answer, this man is a member of Congress, sworn to uphold the Constitution, which, incidentally, includes the amendments. He is sworn to uphold the 14th Amendment, and yet, in what he just said, he wants to overturn the 14th Amendment. Where have we seen conduct like this before, where someone would take the power constitutionally afforded to him and then use the power constitutionally afforded to him to overturn the very provisions of that self-same constitution? Where have we seen this happen in history before? Scratch, 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 head, scratch, head, scratch, head. Yeah, I don't even think I have to say the answer, do I?
And let me tell you why. You know, this is a, it's a complex issue, and it's, you know, you can look and say, you're a mean guy. You know, that's a mean thing to do. That's not a humanitarian thing to do.
No, that's not mean, Representative Hunter. That's fascist. That is un-American. That's what that is. It's not mean. You're a Republican. We understand that you're a dick. It comes with the territory. But now you want to assault the very document that as a member of Congress you are sworn to uphold. That takes you to an altogether different level, Representative Duncan Hunter, standing there in front of a big blow-up of Thomas Jefferson. But then again, maybe Thomas Jefferson's the right guy for this. Because he was in on the whole scheme that made sure that the only people who were really citizens in the beginnings of the United States were people who were white, who were white and male, who were white and male and owned property. Non-property-owning white males? Sorry. Non-property-owning white females? White females in general. Forget it. Got a little more melanin in your skin than the average pink person? Don't apply. So maybe, yeah, maybe. This is what we're dealing with.
We simply cannot afford what we're doing right now. We just can't afford it. California's going under. How much in debt are we? $20 billion? $30 billion? At least Jay said 10 is between 10 and $20 billion in this state that we spend on illegal immigration. Like he said, it's health services, that's education, and jails. We just can't afford it anymore. That's it. And we're not being mean. We're just saying it takes more than walking across the border to become an American citizen. It's what's in our souls.
It's what's in our souls. Man, isn't that just the toxic cherry on top of the pile? Isn't that just whipped cream on poop? It's what's in our souls that makes us American citizens. Jesus. And notice how he goes to the money issue. California's going under. How much in debt are we? $20 billion? So you're willing to trade California's debt for the right to citizenship. Duncan Hunter, what happens if, say, radical leftists, you know, the ones that don't exist but Glenn Beck is constantly warning everyone about. What happens if radical leftists really take power and start saying that, you know, right-wingers with the last name of Hunter are no longer citizens because you've kind of gutted the 14th Amendment? What happens then, Representative Hunter? What happens then? Oh, that would be fascism. No, 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 it's coming from the left. It would have to be communism. Wait a minute, it might be socialism? No, 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 no. Maybe it's anarcho-syndicalism. And what Duncan Hunter is talking about doing is taking settled, remember Stare Decisis? Or as people who were didn't have a good schooling in Latin like to call it, Stare Decisis? Remember Stare Decisis that says that the body of decision-making of the Supreme Court of the United States will be based on the principle that what has gone before matters and that legal principles heretofore enunciated will not be wholesale overturned unless shown to be wildly, crazily, plainly wrong? Remember that? Yeah. Well, see, there's a case that's involved with that. It's of, well, it's significant. It's called United States versus Wong Kim Ark. And the Supreme Court ruled, and not in any sort of fuzzy, squishy fashion, but outright black-letter law, the Supreme Court ruled in that case that anybody who's born in the United States is a citizen of the United States, regardless of their parents' nationality. Right? Okay. Stare Decisis. Never mind, says Duncan Hunter, because he is a co-sponsor of the Birthright Citizenship Act of 2007. That piece of legislation directly assaults the 14th Amendment. It does so by explicitly stating that just being born here ain't enough to make you a citizen. Now, this stuff has been tried in the past. Let me see. Ancient Greece. Sorry, you know me. I got to go back there. Most particularly ancient Athens. In the reign of Pericles, in the Athenian democracy, before they declared absolute game on with Sparta, wound up losing their democracy, wound up losing Pericles. He died in a plague in the first couple of years of the war. Before that, he did give a fine, fine funeral speech, though. It's still taught. But Pericles' faction authored a law and got it passed through the Athenian assembly, you know, the Democracia, the polis, got it through there that said if a child was born to a couple, said that any child born to any couple in Athens was an Athenian citizen only so long as both parents were also Athenian citizens. Oddly enough, one of the first people that got bitten in the ass by that was Pericles, because he had a child by a non-Athenian woman. So the very leader of Athens' son was not a citizen of Athens. And as I said, things proceeded to go rapidly south because of their, you wouldn't call it nationalist, but city-statist fervor. And inside of 30 years, there would be no Athenian democracy. It would be done. It would be over. But nevertheless, Duncan Hunter says it's a fantastic starting point, this Arizona law. Marty writes in saying, we tried that once in California. It was called Proposition 187. I voted against it. However, it was found to be unconstitutional. He says, and I agree with you. This thing is not as complex, you know, because that's one of the things that you're seeing as a talking point. Well, you know, this is a very complex issue, this immigration. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not complex at all. The only complexity lies in the twistings and turnings of the fascists and proto-fascists who are trying to make it appear as if they are doing this out of some patriotic at least mildly concerned about America angle. It's not. It's xenophobia. It's racism. And more particularly, it is the 21st century's answer to how do we screw the Indians this time? You realize that, right? I think I touched on this last night on the program. And I sort of fleshed it out later on as I was thinking about it. I dropped a note to Malloy last night. And by the way, I haven't heard, but I can only assume that good things have happened today for Kathy Malloy. And we're sending her all the fervent good hopes that we can muster. They won't be live tonight. Brad Friedman will be filling in. But I fleshed it out in a note to Mike last night, and the fact of the matter is, and if you are of Hispanic extraction, feel free to take issue with me, but when we use phrases like Hispanic or Latino, unless there is more of your background that comes from Mother Spain than there is that comes from Norte Americano, then there ain't nothing Latin or Hispanic about you. As I noted the other night, while the English did a bang-up job of just flat-out killing the Indians, the Spanish conquerors who came to the New World openly interbreeded. Not so openly at first. There was a whole, the Spanish established a whole pecking order of how much Spanish blood versus how much native blood you had. There was total bigotry and racism and oppression against people of either pure native blood or mestizos, mixed blood, what would later become criollo. But the fact of the matter is, most of the people who are coming across the border, who work in landscaping, who clean toilets, who pick fruit, vegetables, whatever, who stand outside Home Depots hoping for a day's work, such individuals are far more Native American than they are Latino or Hispanic. And the use of those terms is an attempt, an open attempt, that maybe we're just not paying attention to, but an open attempt to make such individuals seem as foreign in this land as we European whites are ourselves. Because we are aliens in this land. It's only 250 years or so that, for instance, my people have been here. And that's not a very long time when you put it up beside 12,000 or 18,000, or as some science indicates, 50,000 years. There's no comparison. It is statistically impossible that any white on this continent would ever become as native as the natives. So instead we invent terms like Latino and Hispanic as a means of not saying Indian. Now, I've got friends who have native blood in their veins, and, you know, my preference is Native American because that makes it clear. But my Indian friends tell me, no, damn it, you gave us this name. This is what you told us to call ourselves. Call me an Indian. And so that's the term I'll use. This whole thing is undergirded by a desire to screw the Indians again. And I don't think that white people or people of white extraction on this continent will be fully happy and that includes the Duncan Hunters and the Tom Tancredos and the rest of the whole filthy crowd, they will not be truly happy or their progeny until such time as every last living remainder, every last living reminder of the means by which we took and stole our way across and up and down both continents of this hemisphere have been erased from the memory of Earth itself. And you know the sad part? They're getting awfully damned close to winning, because instead of saying Indian, we say Latino. We say Hispanic. Which is based upon language and not genetics. For the love of God, there are over 1 million people in Mexico today for whom Spanish is not their first language. Nahuatl is. The language that was spoken when Cortez arrived and continues to be spoken to this day. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions more, for whom their primary language is a variety of Mayan, and has been from time immemorial. But we call them both Latino or Hispanic when they are no more Spanish than I am. And trust me, I'm not. You see, this is the kind of ethnic cleansing, the really, really nasty kind. And it goes without saying that that kind of nasty ethnic cleansing is so frequently a function of fascism. Scratch a fascist, you'll find an ethnic cleanser. A genocidalist. And with that in mind, I ask you the question. You knew I'd get back around, I'd loop back around sooner or later, didn't you? I ask this question. Is it possible to prevent the rise of fascism? Has any country in which fascism has ever reared its ugly head to any significant degree ever fended fascism off? Now, I'm not talking about the Duke and Wallace and so forth in England and what's-his-name stepping down from the throne. They were just tea drinking buddies of Mr. Hitler. And I'm not even talking about the sweetheart longings of Prescott Bush for Fritz Thyssen, whichever. Hitler's angel. I'm talking about countries where fascism actually got on its feet and got moving, and once it got moving, did that country rid itself of fascism voluntarily? Spain was only freed from fascism when Generalissimo Francisco Franco remained dead. And even not immediately upon that occurrence. Germany had to be wrested from the grip of the fascists. So too with Italy. And so I ask you, is that what we are facing? We know that we are facing fascist urges and fascist leanings. But is this country so far down the road to fascism when you consider states like North Carolina, Maryland, Ohio, Nebraska, Missouri, Oklahoma, Utah, Arizona? Are we so far down the road to fascism that we cannot turn it around? And if that is, in fact, the case, what does it mean when we say that the sickness has to run its course? This is no idle contemplation. This is serious. Because, frankly, if these states do this and get away with it, and remember, the ultimate joker in the deck are the rats on the Supreme Court, who will overturn anything to create their political vision of this nation without regard to the well-being of its jurisprudence. If that's the case, where does that put us? And I don't know the answer. But I do know that this country is sick, and I know this country is beginning to burn with a virulent fever. David in Tennessee asks a question. Two non-citizens bring forth a child in this country. Duncan Hunter has his way, and the three are booted out. What is the child's citizenship? No one can tell me any foreign state would say, born there, but you want to be a citizen here, no problem. We're talking about, because these people are fascist morons, we are talking about an attempt to create an entire class of stateless people. And again, I go back to my thesis that it is all part and parcel of getting the guilt out of our sight. Now, most people may not think about it that way, but, you know, things operate primally. Things operate subconsciously. I'll defer to horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner for whether I'm right or wrong about this, but they do operate that way. I can't remember the story. Maybe it was To Kill a Mockingbird where the remark is made that Tom Robinson had to be done away with, because Mayella Yule couldn't stand to look at the living embodiment of her own failings in yearning for a black man. Or was it something else? I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. I hope. Figuring it out has everything in the world to do with your thoughts. They're welcome, of course, at 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, it's 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice.
This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
You know, there's never a bad time for playing Santana. Welcome back to The Horn. I'm Bob. It is about 12 minutes before the hour, and I've been blathering away. I hope.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
I have a couple of things I'd like to talk about, but I want to pontificate on what you were discussing.
You just pontificate all you want to.
Well, I have this, I call it twisters that, sister, twisted sister mentality. I see angles and everything, and I guess it's kind of like a.
Well, I mean, but I do too. And
suspicious mind.
Well, I don't think it's suspicion. I think it is well trained vigilance at this point,
maybe
Juanita.
So, because sad to say, you know, but it seems to me that all these crazy laws they're coming up with, I think it is fascism. And I think that's what they are, and they're going to see how much of it we're going to let them get away with it. And do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
This, because now you're talking about the one place that's Oklahoma, you know, about the sonograms.
Yeah, requiring a woman
There's another state.
Yeah.
Doing that. They got that law before of now. Did you know, I can't remember what state it was, but I heard it, I think, last night.
Nebraska, maybe?
Maybe. But besides all that, I saw that woman from Texas, and you were talking about the one that wants about the check and the IDs and so forth.
Right.
But, and then another thing that I saw on C-SPAN, Al Franken was talking about, I got in kind of like the middle of it. It was really interesting because he was saying that the court now was, what do they say, that the Republicans say they don't want people that make laws? Is that what it was?
They want the government out of our lives.
But I mean, now what do they say about the Supreme Court when they talk about a judge?
They don't want no judicial activists making laws
right.
from the bench.
Well, that's what he said was obvious, especially from that ruling about the money. And he gave step by step how these other countries can get involved. And he said that. He talked to somebody from the other party. He didn't say one of the leaders. And they said, oh, no, they can't get involved. But he gave the evidence about if they have any kind of business over here that he told about how much money that, like, Chavez could put into our elections. It's like about $500 million. You know, about Citgo, he has Citgo.
Sure.
But, I mean, he brought out all that. And I guess he's trying to get what's the guy's from New York City?
Schumer. Yeah, Senator Schumer went to the... He went to the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States earlier today, Juanita, and he unveiled a proposal to, and you might remember when Bob Furtick was on the program from Democrats.com, Senator Chuck Schumer told reporters at a news conference that the court's decision was, quote, terrible, one of the worst decisions that has come along from the Supreme Court, I think, in its history. And so Schumer and Representative Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat from Maryland, proposed nearly identical attempts to limit the impacts of Citizens United today.
Well, you know, I don't know if they really believe that they can't do anything, but how could they prevent that? I mean,
the bill is not everything it needs to be.
Yeah.
But it's got enough teeth in it that it could make life mighty interesting for any corporations who want to go ahead and poison the political process. For instance, Schumer's summary of the bill says that it would require, and this is a little bit gobbledygooky, so bear with me. He says that it would require the CEO of a corporation or the head of any other covered organization to personally appear in the organization's independent expenditure or electioneering communication TV ads and take responsibility for the ad by stating that the corporation or other organization approves the message. In other words, I'm Mr. Blankfein, and Goldman Sachs produced and approves of this message.
That's pretty good.
Wouldn't you like that?
Yeah. But, you know, he was saying that this Republican leader was saying, oh, that would never happen. That can't happen. And I'm thinking, maybe they want it to happen, but they don't realize it might be happening from somebody that they don't care for, such as Chavez. We ought to get some money.
Right, and that's the whole thing. You know, let them see how sick it is. And you know, maybe that's the response to the Arizona legislation. Let's have somebody introduce legislation in another state that requires all white people to carry their papers.
Yeah.
You know what? I would back that.
Yeah. Well, down here, you have to...
And that's what I mean. That's what I mean about letting the disease run its course, Juanita.
Huh?
That's what I mean about letting the disease run its course.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you wonder what's going. But it almost has to.
Or maybe introduce legislation that requires all white people to carry their papers, and upon being asked for their papers, to immediately recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know if you know, but years ago we had to sign, it was during Nixon's term that when you worked, you had to sign a loyalty oath.
Yep.
But if you didn't, you'd get fired.
Well, you know, the big news out of your home state today, Florida, is, of course, what Charlie Crist did.
Yeah, I watched that.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is, he's not leaving the GOP. Because I still wouldn't vote for him. He's still a plain old-fashioned repig-licking. But the GOP has gotten so weird that it's too weird for the weird.
Yeah.
Because the GOP is weird to begin with. But they've gone so absolutely crazy that even...
a big problem down here because the people that are running for governor, my God, McCollum? Now we got a real right-winger woman. Dougherty, and then we got that other guy that I wrote his name down. His last name is Scott, I believe. And he, Rick Scott. You ever heard of him?
Don't think so.
Well, he had one of the biggest hospital things, and he was caught up for defraud of the Medicare. And he had to pay.
Oh, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
He's running for governor down here.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And the only Democrat I know is...
Probably because he's got such family values.
Oh, and he's a creepy-looking guy. Woo, he's creepy-looking. But I just saw an ad today that... But then our Democrat, the only Democrat I know about is this woman. She's the wife of McBride that ran against Bush. In one of his, Jeb Bush in one of his elections. And again,
Florida, alongside Arizona and Texas, Florida may be one of those places where the fascism has to absolutely run its course. Until the place is so miserable.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
What?
I said, thanks a lot, Bob.
Well, I mean, no, I'm just saying.
I know. I told you what this flyer that I had from the Free Legal Service.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning my property. And the first thing he said to me, he said, they're Nazis. Talking about the county.
Yeah.
He said, they're Nazis. And I said, I love you. You know, I love you. That's, you know, somebody that knows what's about because he represented other people. He said, they don't care about anything. And I said, well, I feel like I'm under siege. And he said, you are. And I want to tell you something. This is humorous, but it's not. We have an association in our community. They used to be pretty good. I used to go to it, but now all they think about is having these parks and stuff like that. And anyway, we pay our homeowner taxes to the county. And I don't know, a number of years ago they put on where we had to automatically have garbage collection and you paid for it on your thing, you know, on your taxes, your homeowner taxes.
Right.
And it really worked out good, you know, and they even gave you, like, if you need to take something to the dump, you know, that if you own property, you had a paper that you could go. Well, of course, slowly they took away a lot of stuff, and they took away that about going to the dump. And anyway, now they've come out, and starting in October, I believe, they're just going to pick up garbage once a week. And a lot of people out here are not going to know that. Know about it.
It'll take some figuring out.
And they'll be dumping. We'll already have dumping, you know, like of tires and things. But anyway, I found out who my commissioner is, but anyway, he was at that meeting, and some of them said, well, what about, like, if you have to leave out food, people leave out food, and said, that's going to be bad after a week. And he said, you know, I never thought of that. He said, I have a garbage disposal at my place. I thought that was really
Oh, my,
weird.
Yeah.
And among other things, but I thought that was really just showed where their mindset is, because my lawyer, he said they have no comprehension of people's...
Oh, not even.
But I thought that was rather humorous. But I want to get back to the fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Mine.
Sure.
Another thing is like how that people, so many people... have been brainwashed into thinking it's all right for us to torture.
Yeah.
And you get varying degrees of how much torture. Well, now people are saying, why are children so violent? Well, why not? If you don't believe, if you don't care about somebody that you think is inferior to you, then... your children are going to pick that up, and if they don't pick it up, if they're a lonely child, they may pick it up from their friends at school. You know, it's just, to me, I would like to know what Dr. Rick says about, to me, we're going to get these kids that they could care less what they did to you. They're having a trial now about a young man that he's charged with raping this young girl, and she's in a wheel. She lived. He left her for dead, but she lived, and she's in a wheelchair. So my God only knows what he did to her. So I'm saying, you know, that if we don't teach respect for one another, how are you going to expect things to, you know, understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I would love to know what he would say about that, because I really believe it. We've had like some girls that down here that in the school that they call this supposed to be their friend over to their house, and they found all this, and they beat her up. She had to go to the hospital, and they found it. And you know, it's just one thing. There's just so much of it. But why should these kids, they're not being taught to care because their parents don't care? To me, it is really an abomination that we're going through. And because I always believe that you should respect other people's property, other people, you know, their selfhood. And I think that's why we've got a lot of fascism. And I do, it's looking to me like they're seeing how many stupid laws they can pass, so they control our lives.
Well, but the problem, Juanita, is that they don't view them as stupid laws. We see them as dangerous. We see them as an affront to the Constitution. We see them as a direct assault on essential notions of human decency and dignity. But they don't. They just think they're protecting America because, you know, California's got a $20 billion debt, and how are we going to take care of this debt with all these here babies? But, of course, they're pro-life at the same time.
Yeah. It's just, oh, my God, it's just unbelievable, you know. But I think they're seeing, I think maybe some of them, but I think some of them are like, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Limbaugh. That's a good name. And
I still like Flimball myself, but I understand, yes.
And the other guy, Flynn.
Oh, the rodeo clown,
I mean,
Beck, yeah.
I think they definitely know what they're doing. A lot of people say, oh, well, they really believe it. No, they don't. But the people that listen to them believe what they say. You know, when we first started seeing those Tea Parties, there were women that were, I know, most of the men were just growling, but there were some women who said, I'm scared to death. I'm so scared, you know.
Yeah, of what?
And, you know, that's a horrible thing to do to people.
Well, you know, I happen to be scanning across between, TBS and the Cartoon Channel the other day, and oddly enough, Fox News is in between the two. And I stopped long enough just because they had one of those helicopter shots, you know, the hovering helicopter
uh-huh.
looking, and it was a shot of a parking lot with some cars parked. That really, some cars parked in a parking lot.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it went, man, you want to talk about some compelling video. I stopped and went, two dangerous criminals have escaped from the Los Angeles County Jail. And it seemed to me that they made an especial point of pronouncing, you know, there's that word, Hispanic names.
Uh-huh.
Just to drive it on home, you know. Both men are 24 years old. They are believed to have grown up together. They are believed to have be friends, and they live in the same neighborhood in Van Nuys. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. And frankly, I would think this way, Juanita, were at CNN or anybody else. Why are you calling this breaking news? It's a couple of dummies who didn't have the common good sense to finish out their term, and now they're going to be hunted down like animals. And treated accordingly, and they're going to get more sentence because they were stupid. But no, that's national breaking news. Crazed Mexican Latino men on the loose. Jeez, you know, please.
Well, how many places have you seen showing any of the protests by the union?
What protests?
Against Wall Street.
No. I'm not saying, no, I don't mean that. No, I guess I'm speaking out. What protests? You know?
What protests?
No, what I'm saying is I'm agreeing with you. You wouldn't know that there were protests. What protests?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Because, you know.
The only reason I saw it, if
Wolf Blitzer doesn't speak about it, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. If MSNBC is the only place I saw it.
Right. Wouldn't surprise me. Not at all.
But, I mean, you know. That was on a program that I happened to turn to. I haven't been watching all day, but anyway. Well, it's another thing that they're coming out with, Obama wants to get rid of coal mining because that's why that coal mine blew up.
Oh, I know.
And then also, that's why they want to get rid of offshore drilling, and that's why that blew up. In other words, it wasn't an accident. But did you know that oil spill, they said, could come around to our east coast, Stephen?
Oh, sure, depending on how the tides grab it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because what's more, I read earlier that, no, it's not 1,000 barrels a day. It's 5,000 barrels a day.
Yeah, they said it's five times more than they thought.
Yeah, which is in excess of 200,000 gallons per day. Wow.
And they've had trouble with the wind blowing for them to burn the different parts.
Yeah, and I've heard two or three places, Rachel Maddow herself referred to it as an oil slick the size of West Virginia. And I heard it a couple of other places, and lo and behold, I'm looking at one of my news sites that I rely on, and the folks over at thinkprogress.org have now referred to it as a West Virginia-sized oil slick. You know, come on. Iowa. Let it be an Iowa, because there's not that much difference.
Make you feel better. When I first heard it, they said Rhode Island. So I guess
when it was small.
Yeah, that was bigger.
I was hoping we were getting some relief because I heard it referred to as an Ohio-sized oil slick earlier.
But I've heard, the West Virginia more than I have the other.
Yeah, and that doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
You know, the outline of the state of West Virginia is the only state in the Union that's shaped like an obscene gesture.
I haven't looked at that. Well, look at our shape of our state.
in more ways than one. Yeah. But no, like if you talk to somebody from Michigan, they'll always hold up the palm of their hand when you say, where are you from? And they'll hold up the palm of their hand and they'll say, here. Well, if you hold up the palm of your right hand and you make that obscene gesture, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And your thumb is extended outward. That's the shape of the state of West Virginia.
Well, I'll have to check that out. But, you know, like Florida is like a part, body part.
Yes, I understand. Was trying to kind of avoid that, truth be told.
Because you want to protect my little sweet innocent.
And, you know, I try not to work the blue side of the street when I got a phone call from Juanita. I was just raised that way.
Well, that's not blue. I mean, it's just, you know, it's part of the anatomy. That's what gets me. It's kind of like, who's the guy that had the dirty words?
George Carlin, sure, the seven words you can't say.
And that's so true because they're just words, and it's like one word's okay, one word's not.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the way I've learned to look at it. You know, it's just life, a part of life. So, anyway.
No, go ahead.
I think that's about all. I would like to make a request from some of the people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You had somebody on a couple of weeks ago that I think was a new caller, or it's one I've never heard before, and he was talking about self-sufficiency in your home and all. And I found that very interesting. I'm interested in, you know, in solar. I mean, I crave it. And I was watching the news tonight where they're putting a school somewhere, making it solar down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these flat roll-up solar panels. And I thought, oh, my God, I just like one or two of them. But I know what they cost. But why can't we get out of this oil and this coal stuff and do something decent with the wind, you know, the windmills and the solar and anything that's cleaner. I mean, oh, Lord, Bob, it's just a mess.
I know. It is. Well, Juanita, I'm going to run along and do our top of the hour break. We got to get to the Green News Report. But
okay,
it's good talking to you, and have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too. Night-night.
All right, and bye now. Our Central Florida correspondent, that is, of course, the one, the only Juanita. And it is time to take a little break. We've got the Green News Report on the way. And coming up after that, well, a lot of stuff. Not the least of which, taking a little look at the I didn't get to it yesterday, the Mojave Cross case, but some other Florida news. And, you know, this is another one not to be proud of, but it's another case of West Virginia, us poor hillbillies, getting a little bit of relief. Right? Yeah. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. We'll be back. This is The Horn. Hey, light up the lights if you want to. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, April 29th, 2010.
More on Lindsey Graham's climate legislation hissy fit. And a rapper offers his musical opinion. Plus,
at this time, I'd like to orient you to a strategy that is pre-approved for use in this offshore region.
Setting the ocean on fire. No, really, setting the ocean on fire.
What could possibly go wrong? All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Do you feel like Senator Graham is a big fat baby?
Yes. Yes, John Stewart, Senator Graham is a big fat baby.
Wham!
This is your Green News Report.
Wham, wham.
All right, Desi, really? Setting the ocean on fire?
Oh, yes, adding fire to the fuel.
Very
that,
good.
That oil rig that exploded and sank to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico on Earth Day has now exploded into a full-fledged, slow-moving environmental disaster. Coast Guard Rear Admiral Mary Landry didn't mince words at a press conference.
If we don't secure the well, yes, this could be one of the most significant oil spills in U.S. history.
And there are now two battles. Late last night, officials upped the estimate of oil spilling from the well on the sea floor from 42,000 to 210,000 gallons a day. The other problem is on the surface, where the oil slick is now an estimated 100 miles long and 45 miles wide, and it's expected to reach the coast by Friday morning, threatening multiple critical wildlife habitats and the multi-billion dollar commercial fishing, shrimping, and oyster industries in the area. These are crucial areas that are only just now recovering from Hurricane Katrina. Crews in Louisiana are now racing to set up protective barrier booms on the coastline. Officials from several federal agencies say they are going to use all of the options available. Among other things, on Wednesday, they began a series of small, controlled burns, literally setting fire to areas with the most concentrated oil. And as bad as that sounds, the officials say it's actually better than what'll happen if the oil reaches the coast.
So what they're talking about in these in-situ burns, as they call them, is literally setting the ocean on fire. They're going to burn the oil off the ocean.
Yes, and they say that the temporary smoke plumes that are toxic, the temporary fires, all of that wildlife can adjust to. They can't adjust to being covered in oil and ingesting oil. This is why this is a last-ditch effort to save those wildlife areas.
I love what Coast Guard Rear Admiral Mary Landry had to say about this, referring to their use of history in deciding whether to use these in-situ burns.
History shows that in-situ burns can be very effective in providing a marked and significant decrease in the amount of oil contained in a spill area. In a controlled burn off the coast of Newfoundland, Canada, in 1993, it was found that this method can be effective as an oil-removing technique, and the Newfoundland burn removed 50 to 99% of the oil collected in this fire boom.
50 to 99%. They have no better data than that?
No.
50 to 99% somewhere
no,
in there?
No, this is
maybe
something
work,
that they...
What could go wrong?
No, this is something that hasn't been tried very often before.
This is going to be a story we will continue to follow, no doubt.
Right now in Beijing, they're high-fiving each other. Oh, yeah, baby. This means the Americans are going to be paralyzed on green tech, okay, for another couple of years. China's already leading the world now in wind production. China's already leading the world in solar production.
That was Tom Friedman, New York Times columnist, on Sunday's Face the Nation, talking about the fallout from South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham, the sole Republican working with the Democrats on climate legislation, who walked away from the bill he worked months to draft after Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said climate would take a backseat to an immigration bill first. Now, Reid has since said this week that climate legislation is ready to go and immigration is not, so therefore climate will probably likely go first. Graham reportedly offered to rejoin the push as the sole Republican as long as immigration would be held off until after the November election.
So Lindsey Graham throws a hissy fit over the weekend because Harry Reid says we're going to do immigration first. Lindsey Graham says, I'm taking my toys, I'm going home. And Harry Reid, fighter that he is, says, oh, okay, never mind. We'll do climate legislation after all. Now, I'm glad they're doing climate legislation.
He may do it.
But it's remarkable that one senator, a Republican, could have that type of power over the Democratic agenda. For more on both of those stories and the ones we did not get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. One programming note, I'll be guest hosting the Mike Malloy program tonight. One of my guests will be environmental journalist Dave Roberts of grist.org. No doubt we'll be talking about both of these stories. And we'll play it out today with what Grist called an astute climate bill analysis from DJ Biz Markey. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Did you even know the Senate was deciding your fate? 10 years for clean energy, they wanted you to wait. Let me tell you a story and our situation on how we'll repower this U.S. nation. Two things are going on, I hate to bust your bubble, but the climate is changing and the economy's in trouble. Walking down the street in the Cleveland town, a woman passed by, I asked why you look so down. She says, I lost my job, my only hope's clean energy. Down my order plant, we need a factory ready to work. We got the science and skill, and for 2 million jobs, what we need, a strong bill. You think that our leaders would jump at the chance, but the lobbyists got them shaking in the pants. So I went to the Senate and asked for real change, but when I sprung the question, they acted real strange. All we need is a clean energy law, but all they just hearing is blah blah blah.
A new type of music program coming to the horn.
Got a letter from the government the other day. Opened it and read it. It said they were suckers.
They wanted me about a summer or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never. But I don't need the battle call.
Music for liberals. Music for activists. Music with a social conscience.
Baby down K Street.
The People's Mixtape.
Johnny's dead, Mitch's gone, and Kelly half the loo is out on the list, and then goes on and on.
Coming soon to the Head On Radio Network.
Cut your flag, the gal won't get you into heaven anymore.
Aw, hell. Apparently we've got bandwidth issues again. But anyway, I'm Bob, and we're back. Had a nice little bumper worked out, but it didn't work out. Welcome to the program. It's 28 minutes past the hour. Turn the monitors down before we start feeding back. There we go. I don't like that whole, hi, I'm Bob, Kincaid. I consider myself, self, the luckiest, radio host in the world. No, I don't like that part, so we'll turn the monitors down. At any rate, I said there's some other Florida news out there. Juanita got me thinking about Florida, being how she's our Central Florida correspondent. You remember last Friday? This story keeps coming back like a bad penny. You remember last Friday, the story of the guy in Washington State who was running the bestiality tourism farm where they had to confiscate and take into protective custody several large breeds of dogs, a few horses, and had to euthanize some mice. You remember that? How could you forget? God knows it's obviously seared into my brain. Well, Washington actually got around to passing a don't have sex with the animals bill. Guess who still ain't got one? Right. Florida. Yep, in the land of family values, those family values Republicans who eagerly passed a bill that would allow one to shoot anybody who scares one, they still haven't gotten around to passing a bill that says, you know, don't bugger your pet. The fact of the matter is, the South Florida Sun Sentinel is reporting that they're trying to fix, once again, the fact that Florida remains one of only, and here's another reason to scream, one of only a dozen or so states that don't have a law against getting it on with animals. Somehow, I've got the image in my mind. You know the famous scene with the spaghetti from, what was it, Lady and the Tramp, the Disney movie? Somehow or another, I've got this visual in my head of a mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, redneck Republican in the role of one of the two dogs there, you know, slurping up the spaghetti. Trust me, you don't want to live inside my brain. You just don't. No, there are a dozen or so states in the U.S. I wonder what those states are. Well, I don't have it at hand. Somebody will find it and send it along. But at any rate, Florida remains one of the few states in the U.S. where it's not illegal to have sex with animals. And the Florida Sun Sentinel says that, well, the family values legislature of the state of Florida is working to fix that. You know, under the circumstances, there is nothing that could possibly ever make me be one of the, you know, going to work as one of the actors or team members or whatever at Disney World. No way could you get me into that Pluto suit. Uh-uh. Donald Duck, forget it. Oh, my God. Disney owns the Muppets. Poor Kermit. No, the, let's see. There's a story from Florida. There's a community in Florida called Mossy Head. Stop it. About 2 years ago, a man in Mossy Head, which is in the Florida Panhandle, this is difficult for me, was suspected of accidentally asphyxiating the family goat while having sex with it. No, there are only 16 states. Oh, more than a dozen. 16 states that still permit you to, well, you know the old joke. Guy's driving down the road in Florida, sees a man out in the field having sex with a sheep, stops at the nearest house, knocks on the door and says, "Son, quick," this is before cell phones, boy answers the door, "quick, let me use your phone, we got to call the police, there's a man out in the field over there having sex with a sheep." The little boy looks at him and says, "Oh, don't worry about it. That's just Dad." Yeah. 16 states. Now, bear in mind, Oklahoma's all worked up about making sure that they put a vaginal probe up any pregnant woman's vagina who happens to want to deal with a problem pregnancy. But we've got 16 states in the union who still allow their citizens to have sex with animals. Anybody want to bet if whether Oklahoma's on the list? Come on, takers, anybody? Utah? Well, maybe not with all the wives. I don't know. But, yes, finally, the state of Florida has decided they're going to try again, because they tried last year. They tried last year to outlaw having sex with animals in Florida. But then again, you know, Rush Limbaugh lives there, and he makes millions of dollars a year, and he lives in a 26,000-square-foot mansion with nobody but him and a cat. Power politics, baby! Power politics! According to the Florida Sun Sentinel, the Senate of Florida had passed a similar bill last year, but it fizzled out. It fizzled out before it came before the House. See, language. We've got to pay attention to language here, writers. Come on, journalists. The Senate had passed a similar bill last year, but it fizzled out before it came before the House. The House bill has a similar measure, but it awaits debate. Because, you know, new gun laws, new open carry laws and so forth are more important than in Florida than passing a law that makes sure that really sick, twisted Floridians or tourists, because there's lots of them, don't have sex with animals. I guess you need to pass the gun law because, well, you know, dead goats tell no tales. Okay, so just to make sure we're square on everything, Florida in a nutshell. Want to get married and you're gay? No, that's illegal. You're gay, you love children, and you want to adopt a child. Sorry, that's illegal too. Want to marry your cousin? That's legal in Florida. Want to have sex with a goat? That's legal too. Want to shoot somebody because they talk about the things I just mentioned and it scares you? Legal. I don't know how much more of this compassionate conservatism that we can stand. And that's the thing, you know, Rush Limbaugh lives in a 26,000-square-foot mansion with a cat. We know about the cat. There may be possums in there. Who knows? Mice that had to be euthanized. I can't stand the thought. Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh reminds me, Bob, wait a minute. Might I remind you that these are the same states that had anti-miscegenation laws? Talk about cognitive dissonance. Don't touch that Negro, but go ahead and enjoy your large breed dog, Colonel. I added the Colonel part. Jesus. Like I said, we have a sick, sick country. And remember, there are 16 states in this Christian nation. That's what the right wing likes to say. We are a Christian nation. 16 Christian states in a Christian nation allow you to do it with everything from a dung beetle to an elephant. But a real man gets it on with a gator in Florida. Whew! It is to wonder. And see, the thing, let me go one layer into the onion. One more layer. I suppose, if you were to ask a fundamentalist, why do you suppose it is that there are still 16 states that don't have laws against getting it on with animals? Your average fundamentalist might say something along the lines of, well, you see, back when we were founded as a Christian nation, one nation under God, like it says in the Constitution,
we were Christians, and we were good and godly and upstanding. And we didn't need a law to prevent people from having sex with animals because they done already knowed it was not according to God's law. But since the secular humanists have took over, and the gays, they're getting it on with everything. I found my parakeet dead last week. No. That's not how it works. Bestiality has been with us for eons. I do believe there are biblical proscriptions in the Old Testament against, you know, thou shalt not. Hey, you know what? God wasn't talking about wanting ownership when he said thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, neither covet thou thy neighbor's ass nor his oxen. No. He knew, God knew what was going on. And the fact of the matter is, in a young nation just said, listen, we got bigger problems than this. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll grow out of it. 16 states. You know what? Look, here's one of those great moments in how to make the Republicans suck it. How about a federal law? Honest to God, it would be Slim Whitman playing with that whatever the yodeling thing he does at the end of Mars Attacks and all the little Martian heads exploding inside of all the little glass bulbs, bowls, helmets, whatever. Alan Grayson of Florida needs to introduce a bill, a federal law banning sex with animals. Right? Get a big groundswell of Democratic support for it. And then watch Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, who's been married 4 or 5 times but still has a cat, watch them holler about states' rights. We don't need no federal law banning having sex with animals. We need states' rights. That's a states' rights issue. It's up to each individual state whether or not they're going to pass a law saying you can't bang Fido. Really? And watch the little teabaggers get government out of our lives. Really? Including not having sex with animals? Really? Really, teabaggers? Well, we are teabaggers after all. No, David in Tennessee, I'm not sure it wasn't a Norwegian blue parrot pining for the fjords. there's always a cheap and easy way to get to a Monty Python line on this program. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
How are you this evening?
I'm holding up. No guarantees.
It sounds like you are. You've been holding forth quite valiantly, actually. You know, I don't understand this business of anyone having sex with an animal.
You know, it don't work inside my brain. I can't imagine seeing a stray dog walking down the street and saying, I gotta have that.
I mean, I'm not exactly, and how can I put this delicately, uninformed about different means of sexual expression, but when it comes to the lower kingdoms of animals, that thought has never entered my head, nor have I been able to ever get my head around it as to how someone could do something like that.
Jim, as we discuss this, let's stop using the word head. I'm ashamed of myself for that one. I'm sorry.
You said it, I did. I mean, I said it just as innocently as...
Yes, you did. I'm the sick one here.
As a driven snow. You're going at it as a driven slush, but that's okay. I understand what you're saying, but I don't...
I want to know what the 16 states are.
I don't know who these states are, and to tell you the truth,
We could at least start a betting. We could at least start a betting pool, Jim. I mean, you know, I'll give even money on Alabama. I'll take 16-1 on Massachusetts. 1,000-1 on Hawaii. Alaska, no bets.
Alaska, Sarah Palin just likes to get an helicopter and shoot them.
Yeah, well, no, Alaska's got to be 1-2. I mean, it's got to be one of those where, you know, it's not even really, the bookies really aren't interested.
Well, that's what I mean. Their idea of expression with animals is to get into a helicopter, according to her, and shoot them with a high-powered rifle.
Yeah, but you know what? It gets. Robert W. Service say? Strange tales are told in the land where people moil for gold. Yeah, you know what I'm getting at.
Well,
it gets lonely out on the Klondike Trail when it's just you and your snow machine, or more particularly, you and your mushers.
Well, you know, in the military, there's an expression, when you go into a place that's pretty hazardous, the expression is, it's a place where men are men and sheep are nervous. So.
Right. Well, it's like one of those old gags that they used to tell that we had to put up with, about, there were some Yankee construction workers came down to work on a project in Alabama. And all the Alabama boys, the good old boys, kept telling about how on Friday nights they'd go out and have sex with a sheep. And it was about time for the job to be up, and the Yankees were going home, and the Alabamians finally said, yeah, come on with us. You got it before you go home. And the Pennsylvania boys said, well, all right. And so on Friday night, they all got them some beer, some Pabst Blue Ribbon, whatever, went out, stood next to the fence, and said, well, go on. And one of the Pennsylvania boys jumped over the fence and ran out and got after it and came back. And all the Alabama boys were just sitting there laughing. And the Yankee boys said, see, I told you they were making fun of us. They don't really do that. And in the middle of guffawing and slapping his knees and so forth, one of the Alabama boys looks up and goes, no, you got an ugly one.
Oh, dear God. Well, maybe they need to have a more adequate, a better supply of blow-up dolls and something
well,
like.
Well, see, but you can't buy. That's the whole thing, Jim. You can't buy one of those in Alabama.
I mean, are these people so deprived and so depraved that they can't have anything to do with a woman who's not inflatable?
You know, I got a feeling when we're talking about these the guys that do this kind of thing, you know, I'm thinking that really they've probably never been around a female, except maybe, you know, on the way out of mama.
Good Lord, it's just like Deliverance.
Yes, yes, it is, Jim.
Hey, well, these people, I mean, the mind simply reels. You know, I just called just see if I could get an explanation as to what could cause a person to be that.
I know.
Oh.
But I don't know if there is an explanation. It's, you know what, I would hazard a guess, and again, I will defer to our horn psychotherapist, Rick Goodner. But I would hazard a guess that people who engage in bestiality are similar to child abusers, because they say that they're really incurable. The only thing you can do is segregate them from polite society so that they can't do it anymore.
It is a sickness, and it is something which I think they really can't help. There's something in the chemistry of their brain or whatever I don't pretend to understand it. So I think you're probably right there.
And as such, you've got to have a law on the books.
Of course you do.
I mean, don't
have laws,
for
God's
sakes, Jim, we're in West Virginia and we've got a law.
Exactly. And people make fun of West Virginia for everything from A to Z, but yet at least we are well-founded enough in decent behavior and, you know, an adherence to some form of morality that that it's addressed in the law, and in these places they're not. It's beyond me. Can I ask you about something or talk about something else here for a second?
You certainly may.
You know, we're going back into the Mexico and I guess the colonization of the New World. And it certainly was not a story written for the squeamish.
No.
And there were so many unfair practices when Europe expanded into America. And, for example, in New Netherlands, you had the patronship system. And in New France, you had the seigneurial system. And in New Spain or Mexico, you had the encomienda system. And basically, these were simply the transportation of serfdom, almost like the ancient Roman latifundius states.
Yes.
And these people were bound in voluntary servitude, and whether it was the patron or the of seigneur or the encomendero, basically, he ruled those territories with an iron fist. And the sins that were committed by the Spanish, particularly against the Indians, if you read any of the reports of Bartolomé de las Casas and how the Indians were just literally decimated by the cruel practices of these European newcomers.
Oh, the branding and the, yeah. You know, exactly. I have to compliment you, Jim. I think you were the first person on this program other than me ever to reference Bartolomé de las Casas.
Well, I mean, he wrote a number of things and sentences of the Vatican. And in his appeal to the Pope to try to stop the practice of slavery. And I think one of the popes did sign a papal bull forbidding slavery.
Well, there was a bishop of Nueva España sent over by the name of Zumarraga.
That's right.
And it was Zumarraga who dropped the dime, so to speak, and said, you know, thou shalt not abuse the Indians.
Exactly.
And suffice to say, that did not go over at all well.
With the encomenderos and the... They considered that type of interference.
They considered the Indians their personal property.
They did. They were. They became their serfs. And, or for the lack of a better term, slaves. And I was just getting around to the last portion of the Americas and the American South and the development of the, plantation system with, of course, with 400 families in the South owning slaves. And in some of these situations, it was like Uncle Tom's Cabin. It was very bad. And in other situations, it wasn't as bad. But I do know that President Lincoln, when he met Harriet Beecher Stowe, said, well, here's a little woman who helped start the big war. And that's sort of a comment on Lincoln and his position on slavery, but that's what he did say to her.
Yeah. And see, the fact of the matter is, because of the disease issue that we've mentioned, literally millions upon millions, numbers that make the Holocaust itself pale by comparison, not to in any wise play that down, but stunning numbers, stunning millions of natives on this and the South American continent were killed, some actively, some passively, in terms of either overt murder or disease. But because the Indians did not make suitable slaves and had this ugly habit of just dying, that was what created the necessity for the importation of African slaves.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, do you know that during the Revolutionary War, when smallpox was quite a problem among our soldiers there, that it was from the African slaves who were the first ones to use the process of inoculation. And instead of 25 out of 50 dying of smallpox, only one out of 50 would die of smallpox because of this practice. And that's kind of interesting to me.
Well, it is. It is very interesting.
And here's another one, just to throw it out. The American Army was just a ragtag mob until Washington employed the services of a notorious German homosexual named von Steuben.
Right. Oh, and he wasn't just, he was gay.
Exactly. But he taught those men how to march. He taught them how to dig latrines and to separate living from eating quarters and things of that nature, and taught them basic hygiene. And he basically was one of the reasons that Washington had a modicum of success when things were going so badly during the first portions of the American Revolution. But this country is, the, like I say, it is not, its colonization and the European expansion into the New World certainly had a great deal of injustice. And even after that, the way the Americans treated the Indians here. And, you know, when Hitler was speaking about certain things, he made references to our own practices of immigration, deportation, and in certain cases, the special handling of certain undesirable groups in order for us to achieve our Lebensraum, or living space.
And I think that effort is still going on, Jim. That's why I said earlier that ultimately the goal of these this progeny of white European land grabbers, some of them, is to utterly erase the copper-skinned people from this planet, because merely the mere existence of them reminds them of what criminals they themselves in their own family histories are.
Well, this is true. This is true. Well, we've gone the full circuit, and I hope those states will finally get around to passing some type of law that will make them leave our four-footed friends alone.
Yeah,
earlier, my cats were walking around here. They were getting awfully nervous. I think they can.
I think they speak English, Jim. You know, I've got a friend of long standing who says it's not that cats can't talk; it's that they choose not to.
That's the truth.
Because as long as they're not talking, they get all their needs met. And he used to say, the day that they get thumbs, we're screwed.
I think your friend has a great deal of wisdom there.
Well, I got to share something with you because our news ninja Susan went out and found it for me. The Robert W. Service poem. Yeah, it starts out, "There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge I cremated Sam McGee."
That's where that came from, the cremation of Sam McGee.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, close that door. It's the first time I've been warm since I left home.
Okay.
Sam McGee was from Tennessee. Yep, that's the one.
Is this Susan who is from Oregon?
Yes, Susan from Oregon.
Well, tomorrow night's going to be a night for Wiccans. I think it's Saint Walpurgis night, or it's Walpurgis Nacht.
Oh, tomorrow night's Walpurgis Nacht?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah, the references of that, I mean, it has to do in certain cases with different things. One has to do with, it's part of the Wiccan calendar and other countries. It's where the dead are able to walk around and people will build bonfires to keep them away. And, of course, Edward Albee labeled the second act of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Walpurgis Nacht. So
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tomorrow night, it's one of the higher days in the Wiccan calendar, if I'm not mistaken, and Susan can correct me if she will, but I believe it is. It's probably higher than Beltane or Halloween or any of the rest, April 30th.
I had no idea.
And it's also said that the reason that Hitler killed himself on April 30th is because on that particular evil night, he would be able to rejoin the forces of darkness.
Oh, dear God.
And that...
wow.
I thought I would leave you with that and on that note.
Well, you know, what do you want from a guy who takes such stringent doses of cocaine and amphetamine that he winds up chewing on the carpet?
Poor Adolf. Well, I don't say poor Adolf.
No.
I mean, you talk about a walking pharmacopoeia. I don't understand how in the world that man survived as long as he did with that hair injection meister of a doctor of his giving me all those medications and stuff like that. No wonder he was as crazy as a sprayed roach.
Well, exactly.
Oh, he wasn't crazy. He was just stupid. That's one thing I've always said. He wasn't that crazy. He was stupid in the way he behaved and treated people. And stupidity was a little insanity.
And a whole bunch of evil.
Oh, well, that's the third component I was going to mention, but I just thought I would mention, yeah, April 30th is Walpurgisnacht, so if you are said disposition, light your fires, or old Aunt so-and-so, whom you may have not got along with, may come knocking on your door.
Hear, hear. Jim, take care and have a good evening.
And the same to you, sir.
All right. Bye now. A font of information is our friend Jim. Let's see. Yeah, just to finish this up. I mean, doesn't that... Come on. Like I said, not taking bets on whether or not bestiality is still legal in Alaska. I begin at least... No, 1 to 3. Not 1 to 2. 1 to 4. 1 to 4. Got to spend $4 to win one. That's the odds established. And... you wonder if maybe Robert W. Service was talking about something besides burning up his buddy from Tennessee. Again, there are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights. The queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge. I cremated Sam McGee. Now, Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why, he left his home in the South to roam around the pole, God only knows. He was always cold. But the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hail. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way. See, mushing? No. 1 to 10. Odds are down to 1 to 10. We were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail, talk of your cold, through the parka's fold it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd closed, then the lashes froze, till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. Whimpering? Whimpering? Beginning to wonder if Sam McGee's a dog or a person. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed, see, dogs... and the stars overhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me and, Cap, says he, I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request. We seemed so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, it's a cursed cold, and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet 'tain't being dead, it's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair you'll cremate my last remains. A pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. And he crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half-hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, you may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains. Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb in my heart, how I cursed that load. In the long, long night by the lone firelight, while the huskies, see, the huskies, round in a ring, howled out their woes to the homeless snows. Oh, God, how I loathed the thing. And every day, that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow. And on I went, though the dogs were spent, and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad, and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in, and I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin, till I came to the marge of Lake LaBarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, but I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then here, said I with a sudden cry, is my crematorium. Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared, and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. Then I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled. And the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why, and the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked. Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was the night on the marge of Lake LaBarge that I cremated Sam McGee. I think the odds of Alaska not having a bestiality law have risen to 1 to 100. Yeah. Clayton writing in to say, keep your damn hands off my guide dog. She's my favorite. Kevin in South Korea. Hitler and any self-respecting Southern Baptist minister or fire and brimstone preacher tend to have a fondness for methamphetamine that also included Jim Jones, amongst others. It aids in giving them that occultive personality. So, with any luck at all, everybody cross your fingers for the state of Florida. This year, since they didn't quite get around to it last year, this year, maybe, just maybe, with the bill having passed the Senate, maybe, just maybe, the House will get around to debating the bill. Yeah, that's right. This bill needs debate. A bill that forbids Floridians and others from having sex with animals needs debate. I say, you know what? If the Florida House can't pass this bill by acclamation, then not only should we allow Florida to secede, maybe we ought to just kick them out. No offense, Juanita. Guy. Cossack. Peter. Sorry. Debate? Debate? So we're at the top of the hour. We'll take a little break. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. Phones ring real good around here. Chime right in, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, it's 304-658-3333. Squeal like a pig! Squeal!
Sure do got a pretty mouth.
Want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
For those of you who are curious, I'll have you know Agnes has been sitting here with a look of abject horror on her face during the entirety of the proceedings. And when I hollered, "Who we get me a goat?" she just looked at me and said, "Bob Kincaid, you are a bad, bad man." And I am. Oh, I am. I'm looking here. Oh, there it is. I knew it had to be around here somewhere. Speaking of pissed off right-wingers, No, I don't want your stupid do-it-yourself booking form. Quit it. Huh, more details. There we go. I've told you a million times about how I've got these filthy right-wing guest pitches that hit my inbox on a daily basis. Well, Horn Southeast correspondent Matt Osborne of Osborne Inc. osborneink.com has been working on a story today, and we shall see what comes of it. I don't know if you caught this or not, but the right wing is all ablaze. Everybody from Michelle Malkin to Fox News to all manner of creepies. Screaming that, well, here's the headline I got. Obama swats Tea Party. Riot police and snipers called out to defend Quincy, Illinois Convention Center against geriatric Tea Party protesters. Well, you know what? Geriatric Tea Party protesters are prone to carry guns, too, but never mind. I mean, it doesn't take just a hell of a lot of strength to squeeze off a round or two. That's why them handguns is so handy. That's why they're not handguns, they're handy guns. There continues to be a common theme developing with respect to the reality that is the Tea Party movement and the opposition to it by this Obama administration. This Obama administration? Doesn't that imply that there's been another Obama administration? I don't know, maybe it's in that Star Trek parallel universe and Barack has a funny pointy beard like Spock did. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. The movement is mostly made up of conservative Christians with a predominantly older demographic. The protests that began taking place in April of 2009 have been extremely peaceful with no arrests. Wonder why. Maybe that's because they're not worth arresting? Because they might become violent if arrested? You know, they're not like us kumbaya tambourine-tapping liberal types. Okay, officer, you know, I'll take you along to the station house. Please don't beat me. No, because, you know, these are teabaggers, and they'll stand there and scream, help, help, I'm being repressed, bloody teabagger. See, that's what I'm on about. You heard that. You already called me that, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. Protests have continued all across America with untold numbers of people participating. And apparently they're still not telling. The Tea Party protest outside the Quincy, Illinois Community Center, with Barack Obama inside, was no different. Except for the SWAT team that was called out to defend the community center from being attacked by a rabid geriatric Tea Party that sang God Bless America on a nearby street corner. In addition to riot police on the ground, there were snipers positioned on the roof of the building. These clowns really do live under a rock, don't they? Because they apparently never went to a Bush event in which one could get arrested for merely wearing the wrong T-shirt. A T-shirt that didn't even say anything. That had nothing but an image on it. I know. It happened in Charleston, West Virginia. Not to mention a lot of other places. And you'll notice the remark there about how the peaceful Tea Party protesters sang God Bless America on a nearby street corner? If you were protesting George W. Bush, do you know where you would have been singing God Bless America? 6 miles away in a freedom of speech zone! Anybody notice that the free speech zone has now been re-extended to the entirety of the United States of America? Even for goober heads who want to... where's the birth? I want to see the long form. Anybody can put an article in the newspaper 49 years ago, knowing full well that he was going to be president. Referring to the story of the amazing teabaggers in Boston back on tax day,
the ones that brought their 11 children who were on Medicaid. And the mother said, well, I just wanted to keep on having babies. Well, wrong accent. Regarding that, J-Root from the chat room saying, Bob, I was not surprised by the teabaggers in Beantown. I lived there 10 years and hardly noticed it was a blue state. John McTernan, founder of Defend and Proclaim the Faith Ministries, sees a very disturbing trend taking place, not only via this administration's increasingly overt attempts to demonize patriotic and Christian citizens, but encourages more attention to be paid to the leadership within the U.S. military, which he says is also taking on an anti-Christian tone. Pardon me, John McTernan. Excuse me, dumbass. It's law that the United States military is to be non-sectarian. It's not anti-Christian. It's non-Christian because the law says it has to be. Now, the fact that we ignored that law for 8 miserable years under the dim leader, dim son, that pig-eyed, juggy-eared little lout that's got a biography coming out in November, the fact that we ignored that law doesn't mean that the law was taken off the books. Dumbass. As evidence of this, McTernan points to a report done by a man. This is the fun part. Oh, this is the real knee slapper. I mean, this is going to strap in. As evidence of this, McTernan points to a report done by a man named Major Brian L. Stuckert in May of 2008. Huh? 2008? Link below. While that report was written several months before Obama took office, notice the use of the language. It's not while that report was written during the George W. Bush administration. It's several months before Obama took office. McTernan says that its contents, which were widely distributed within the military, are cause for serious concern during an administration that continues to polarize America, at least in significant part, along Christian lines. Gee, I haven't seen any liberals out there screaming, take our country back, carrying signs with pictures of Barack Obama as Hitler or Chairman Mao, Stalin, Mussolini, Pol Pot, or any number of other, or just an African tribesman with a bone through his nose. I haven't seen liberals doing that. Who do you think would be doing the polarizing? The Christians? Could be. McTernan makes a strong case that Stuckert's report singles out the Christian right and in no uncertain terms the beliefs of certain types of Christians as potentially leading to an attempt by some unnamed foreign adversaries of the United States to polarize this nation by exploiting the beliefs held by such Christians. Huh? Another one that missed the don't eat the brown acid memo. I think what he's trying to say is that the report acknowledged the fact that there are bloodthirsty right-wing Christians who would like to engage in murder in the name of Jesus. You know, like, what's his name? Roeder, that killed Dr. Tiller. Christian, right? Yeah, Christian. But never mind the fact, it was not the Barack Obama administration that called out the SWAT team. It was the locals. The Obama administration had absolutely and utterly nothing to do with it. I think we will find that out from Matt Osborne. In fact, I'm being told right now that the post is up at osborneinc.com. And if you will but go to osborneinc.com, go now. Stand not upon the order if you're going, but go once. Do it now. It's at the top of the page. The tyranny of the imagination. Oh, he does have a taste for language, that Matt Osborne. According to Malcolm Wiley of the Secret Service, this is not, repeat not, a Secret Service agent directing a riot squad in Quincy, Illinois yesterday. Read the whole thing for yourself. It's another case of, let's see, what's the complicated scientific term for what teabaggers and wingnuts do? Oh, yeah, making crap up. OsborneInc.com, tyranny of the imagination is at the top of the page. Go, comment, have fun. Never know when you'll run across a wingnut or something. And they're so much fun to slap around. Well, it's like watching a cat play with a mouse. with the wingnut in the role of the mouse. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Bob. It's Gareth out in Bucks County. How you doing?
Hey, Gareth. How's it going?
Good. But, yeah, I ditto on what you said there about the wingnuts. I can't talk about them too much anymore without getting sick because I'm already too sick by what I'm sure you talked about earlier. I just got home, so I'm assuming you've covered some of the oil spill situation in Louisiana.
We have touched on it some, yes.
Yeah, and it's turning, the more I hear about it, it's turning into a, it could be another Valdez situation. That's how bad they're saying this is.
Yeah, and in fact, I was noting in the chat room a little bit earlier that this thing has the potential to actually begin to be as noxious as the Kingston ash spill in Kingston, Tennessee. Yeah. Although, let's see, since the 20th, let's just do some quick math, 10 days at 200,000 gallons a day, that's 2 million gallons of oil spilled so far.
They can't seem to cap it, from what I understand.
It's too deep.
It's just too damn deep. Yeah, you see, the engineering miracle that got that giant cement platform out there in the first place is also the same miracle that makes it impossible to, very difficult to cap.
Right.
So it's
and for all I know, and I admit my ignorance on this, Gareth, it may be made difficult to cap because there may be, you know, a sunken oil platform sitting on top of the leak.
Right.
Which would be a real problem.
Yeah, thousands of feet of water pressure is a problem. You know, it's one thing on top of the other there.
Yeah, humans don't survive well in that environment.
No, and the timing again bothers me. Barely 5, 6, maybe 7 weeks ago was my first Obama disappointment when he was mentioning our commitment to offshore oil must continue, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Remember that? And I kind of let it slide.
You know, drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, then I called you a week later when my second disappointment I had to share when we talked about those loan guarantees to the nukes,
right,
in Georgia. So I just wonder if there's anybody left.
Well,
in
but,
this country
but
who will? Yeah.
Go ahead. No, anybody left?
Is there anybody left who will say oil is cheap still after this?
No, but they'll say that if we drill, we'll have cheap gas. You want to know how I know?
How?
If you go over to Newt Gingrich's website,
a good name.
It's called the American Solutions for Winning the Future. I didn't know that we were at war with the future, but I guess we are. American Solutions for Winning the Future. If you go over to their website right now, don't do it. Just trust me to tell you what's here. It has an online petition calling for us to drill offshore.
Uh-huh.
And on the web page right now, or unless they've scrubbed it since attention was drawn to it, there's a banner with an oil derrick with an American flag flying off the top of it that says, drill here, drill now, pay less.
Pay less.
But here's the delightful irony of it. Underneath it is a news headline, oil continues to leak from sunken rig.
Isn't that scary? Right.
But it's not just Newt Gingrich, the American Petroleum Institute, Energy Tomorrow, Institute for Energy Research, Americans for Prosperity, the Heritage Foundation, and the Institute for 21st Century Energy, all of them front groups for the slippery, greasy, sleazy oil people, are still banging on the drilling drum.
And I just said Obama as well, and that he's all for it. I mean...
Well, you know, accidents happen.
I don't understand.
Nothing's perfect.
If everybody out there in this country pays three times as much for shrimp next month, in 2 months, you got to look at that as an oil tax because this whole thing is not cheap. Now, I take it one step further. The next person who tells me cheap oil, I'm going to tell them that $1 trillion military exercise out in the Middle East, that's oil cost. I look at it that way.
Sure it is.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
So this cheap illusion,
But it is what you are describing, Gareth, is in particular, I think, if I may dare to say so, it is a systemic or endemic problem that runs throughout the hydrocarbon industry, because you can't say coal without saying cheap coal or clean coal, and you can't say oil without saying cheap oil or domestic oil or drill here now or drill baby drill or spill. But no, you can't do it, because it has become, rather than a function of reasoned debate, it is an article of faith.
And you're these guys, I haven't seen one BP president, executive, whatever, on TV saying we're trying our best here. I haven't seen one.
Oh, no. And they probably learned from Don Blankenship.
Oh, I was going to say, they remind me of your buddy.
Because he went to ground and let Governor Joe Manchin do all the dirty work for him.
So right now they're letting Jindal talk. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, but how you say his first name is not Bobby.
How do you say it?
Piyush.
Piyush. Okay.
Really, that's his real name. He's one of the few. Well, he may be the only governor in the United States going by an alias.
Right. I just wonder if he ever runs for president, if they'll start a birth of thing about him being born in Kashmir or something. You know, does he have aspirations, do you think?
Oh, he has aspirations.
Yeah, God, I think he's younger than both of us. And he's one of these.
He's a real twisted pup too, because he was part of something that approached it was an assault. He was part of he's one of these really, really super hyper bizarre Roman Catholics who believes in demons. And he has written about the evening that people held a woman down that he participated in while they performed an exorcism on her.
Wow, makes Romney's religion sound.
Yeah, suddenly magic underwear and a thousand wives on planet Kolob don't sound so weird.
Yeah, well, hopefully that stuff gets out. But you're right, he's doing the dirty work right now. I just had CNN on earlier, and it was him. And I think they're, hats off to the fishery guys. They're suing already.
Good.
the shrimp guys are already suing.
I've got a very emotional tie to that region.
That's right. Is that where you come from?
Well, I don't come from there. I come from the other end of Alabama. It's about a 6.5-hour drive from the Shoals down to Mobile. But to go down there, and there's a little joint down on Gulf Shores called the Gulf Shores Steamer. And when it's shrimping time, you can go down there and for next to nothing get a giant basket of steamed shrimp, still with the head on. Every damn things are as long as garden snakes.
Right.
and they're magnificent. They just bring them to you in a bucket with a metal plate and a thing of butter and a thing of cocktail sauce and some lemon wedges, and you're in heaven. And that's all gone. That's done.
Well, I think the big storms had something to do with that, right?
Well, no. They're still shrimping.
Mm-hmm.
But not now. Not thanks to BP.
Oh, okay. You're saying that they actually did recover after Katrina to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was some recovery of because it wasn't hammered quite as bad on one end as it was on the
right.
New Orleans and Mississippi Gulf Coast end.
But now BP is going to shut down what even a level 4 hurricane could shut down. That's
right.
Incredible.
Yeah,
that's incredible. I feel bad for you, especially Bob. Both your two backyards of your life are been hammered lately by disaster. First that coal mine thing.
Yeah, and let's be very clear, Gareth. They haven't been hammered by natural disasters. They have been hammered by avoidable man-made nightmares.
In the name of the hydrocarbons. Both of them.
Well, let's be a little clearer. In the name of massive hydrocarbon profits.
That's a little more accurate, certainly. And I think BP, see, the incredible thing about BP is that they're going to, British Petroleum, I think they're called, right?
Yes.
I think they're going to get away with this and write eventually a $500 million check.
Well, there's a dodge that goes on. One of the things that the energy industries, be they coal, oil, gas, whatever, are past masters in, Gareth, is finagling land ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And mineral rights ownership. For instance, I was informed by a listener that this particular platform was not owned by BP.
Right, some company called, began with a T, Transocean or something.
Yeah, and BP leased it.
Right, right.
So they're just a lessee.
Right, right. So who?
And it's not much different from what goes on in the coal fields, for instance. Massey Energy does not own a speck of land, if you can imagine that.
Hmm.
It's all leased for purposes of mineral extraction.
It's actually worth it. So they actually make a better profit just not even owning the land, is what you're basically saying.
They purchase the mineral rights, mm-hmm. and they lease the land itself.
That's probably it. Okay, so there's no point in even buying it, as far as they're concerned.
No. And it's a model that was picked up, for instance, by Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart doesn't own the land that a single one of its stores sits on. It's all leased.
I keep forgetting about that. One of Walmart's little tricks, besides minimizing...
They don't pay property taxes. See, if Massey Energy owned the surface of the lands that they're raping... they would have to pay real, live, honest-to-God, real property taxes. Instead, they merely pay severance taxes for the coal that they rape out of the earth. It is a shell game. It is three-card Monte. It is a dodge, Gareth, to make...
And that if they write that $500 million check... I think
it's a dodge to make Bill Sykes blush. Let's put it that
right.
way.
Right. And the sickening thing is if they write that big check for $500 billion, me and you would help pay for that, if you think about it.
Oh, it'll be passed along, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. These people get breaks up the wazoo, tax-wise. We all know that. And it's, who 5,000 barrels of oil a day being pumped out of this thing. And so far, I don't see them paying for it.
No, because as is usually the case, we use capitalism for the profits. We use socialism for the losses. That's how it works for America's better class.
Right. Those people, you're right. These guys, when Obama made the mistake of saying spreading the wealth around, these are the same characters who have no trouble spreading the losses around, you know. But don't spread the wealth. God help us, right? Losses, no problem. That's basically what you're saying, and I agree with that. And speaking of losses, I mean, when you go down there, I'm sure you had red snapper, kingfish, that kind of stuff.
Oh.
It's going to be wiped out.
Yeah. There's a... one of America's last great roadhouses was wiped out by Katrina.
Okay.
It was called the Florabama Lounge, and it was magnificent. It literally straddled the border between Alabama and Florida, and it was this ramshackle shack with a dock and a pier and all kinds of stuff. And every year they have a mullet toss.
What?
A mullet toss. To see how, and it's this huge festival, mullet festival, and it's mullet is a kind of a greasy, I don't care for it fish,
right.
But you know you see how far you can throw a mullet, and it's a drunken good time on the Florida Alabama frontier, and they had just barely begun, they had sort of begun to come back from the hurricanes,
right.
Well, goodbye mullet.
Right.
I mean, they're slippery and slimy enough as it is. That's what makes a mullet toss kind of interesting. If they're coated in oil, forget it.
Right. Well, there was some good news that came in my Sierra Club email. I'm an outings coordinator for the hiking around here. The good news is they, with the windmills, are going to go up out in Cape Cod, up north.
Right.
And so that was a one positive away from oil story I heard today in the middle of all this grim stuff. So I'm trying to look at the silver lining here, you know, that a windmill just spins around. It doesn't leak oil, doesn't leak anything. it's a positive move, I think. I know there's some elitists up there who said, okay, you're spoiling our view.
That's viewscape pollution. That's the term for it, viewscape pollution.
Right, right.
So, but that is good news. And frankly, you know, if we ever get the windmills put up on Coal River Mountain down here, Gareth, you know, those things can't kill 29 people at a pop.
That's.
And frankly, I would be interested, and I need to write to one of my friends and find out the net electrical output achievable by the net output of the Upper Big Branch mine. How long would it take for the Coal River Wind Project to generate that much electricity?
Good point. And I've yet to hear the first. I've yet to hear of a windmill fatality. Have you heard one yet?
Only bats.
I can live with that.
We've got a windmill project in Greenbrier County, one county over from where I am right now, Gareth, and some phony baloney environmentalists got it stopped. Because it was alleged to be killing invisible bats that weren't there.
Right. Well, I think that particular extreme viewpoint is starting to fade away, because I think the fact that it's happened in Cape Cod means it's going to start happening more and more. And as you know, I talked with you last month about PICO, 100% wind over here people who want to do it. So I think it's happening. I mean, I'm trying to be positive because...
Oh, you have to be. Because, look, even though Barack Obama in the Memorial for the Miners last Sunday said, coal keeps the lights on, even though he repeated the West Virginia Mining Association's key slogan, the fact of the matter is 45% of electricity in this country is generated by coal. That means 55% isn't. And the last I checked mathematically, 55 is more than 45.
That's good. So he should, you're right. He was just mouthpiecing the same stuff we hear over and over again. So anyway, I'm going to let you go here. It's nice talking to you. Like I said, I'm hoping we have some positive stuff too. So.
Well, and you know, we do keep an eye out for it. It just seems to be, and you never know. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow, for all I know. We'll have some sort of positive outcome. Okay. Maybe I'll have good news tomorrow night.
See you later, Bob.
All right, take care, Gareth. Bye. Bye now. And I don't know if there's anybody here. Nope. Okay. Really? I do good news when I get good news. Unfortunately, the news has been about crazy people running around the country and you know, good Christian upstanding geriatrics being watched by SWAT teams, even if they weren't, even though Matt Osborne has already proven conclusively, that this is once again a great big honking stupid right-wing, what's the word I'm looking for? Yes, lie. Amazing, isn't it? And that brings me to this. Our buddy Dennis in Kentucky forwarded this along. It's been sort of banging around out there on Facebook for a while. This is worth hearing. You want to get mad? We had 8 years of Bush and Cheney. But now you get mad. You didn't get mad when the Supreme Court stopped a legal recount and appointed a president. You didn't get mad when Cheney allowed energy company officials to dictate energy policy. You didn't get mad when a covert CIA operative got outed. You didn't get mad when the Patriot Act got passed. You didn't get mad when we illegally invaded a country that posed no threat to us. You didn't get mad when we spent over $600 billion and counting on said illegal war. You didn't get mad when over $10 billion just disappeared in Iraq. you didn't get mad when you found out we were torturing people. You didn't get mad when the government was illegally wiretapping Americans. You didn't get mad when we didn't catch Bin Laden. You didn't get mad when you saw the horrible conditions at Walter Reed. You didn't get mad when we let a major U.S. city drown. You didn't get mad when we gave a $900 billion tax break to the rich. You didn't get mad when, using reconciliation, $1 trillion of our tax dollars were redirected to insurance companies for Medicare Advantage, which cost over 20% more for basically the same services that Medicare provides. You didn't get mad when the deficit hit the $1 trillion mark and our debt hit the $13 trillion mark. You finally got mad when the government decided that people in America deserve the right to see a doctor if they're sick. Yes, illegal wars, lies, corruption, torture, stealing your tax dollars to make the rich richer are all okay with you. But helping other Americans? Oh, hell no! And now you're mad. Lordy. Kind of captures the teabaggers right there in just one little paragraph, doesn't it? Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey.
I'm Aradia.
Aradia?
Yeah, I'm using an alias because my new job that I have, I got investigated, and I don't particularly, isn't that a drag, but I like having a job, you know.
I can certainly understand that. Those paychecks are just fun sometimes.
Yeah, it's something I get into working. the folks that are getting so mad, I think they are truly misled. I am sorry. I've been working with benefits for people for many years. And, like, they'll blame foreigners or black people or something for the fact they're not getting their Social Security, and they're full of it. But they don't know. Yeah, I feel like they're being truly manipulated, and I think lots of money is spent on manipulating them.
Oh, millions. Millions, without a doubt. And we know who the manipulators are, don't we?
No, but they usually have lots of money.
Well, no, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is the teabaggers are a wholly owned and organized subsidiary of FreedomWorks. FreedomWorks is run by Dick Armey. Dick Armey is a hardcore apologist for the corporate predators in this country. What's happened is you've got organizations like the militia movement, the white supremacy movement, the patriot movement, the three percenters, and also massive leverage coming from fundamentalist church pulpits, driving people into this so-called Tea Party and being wrapped with, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like putting a fresh bag with a fresh sell-by date on stale bread. The John Birch Society, the hate groups from immigration reform, they're all
Right, that's the thing.
Yeah, they're all wrapped up in the teabaggers.
People are always blaming immigrants for things, but I mean, I feel like they do take jobs away from other people, but they do it because they want to earn a living and they want to pay jobs. This is called survival.
Well, but the jobs issue, Iradia, even has been that's a function of right-wing politics. Look at the states, and I've made this argument before. Maybe you didn't hear it, but look at the states that have significant undocumented immigrant populations within their borders that don't border Mexico. you know, Texas, yeah. Arizona, New Mexico, California, you can kind of understand those, right? They've got a common border with Mexico. But that doesn't explain the significant numbers of undocumented immigrants in places like North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia. The reason those undocumented immigrants are there is because those states signed on to hardcore, sickening right-wing politics and politicians who ran for office saying, you know what, we need to be a right-to-work state. And they passed those noxious right-to-work laws, which means, you know, the essential meaning of right-to-work is right-to-work for less, right to starve. And it happens in every right-to-work state. Wages go down to the point that the local residents cannot take the work, which means that that creates a vacuum to be filled by people who will, by dint of desperation, not necessity.
Yeah.
And that's how the undocumented immigrant quote-unquote problem has been propagated. These right-wingers complain about it, but they are the ones who created it.
Well, it's very convenient. On one hand, you can blame all these things on minorities. On the other hand, you can underpay all these people that are working for you. I mean,
it's kind of a win-win. You've got a bête noire to beat on, but at the same time, you can underpay wages, not pay workers' compensation, and pour all of that into the new Corvette.
Yeah, it's quite handy.
Very much so.
I guess people need to learn how to think critically, something that this society doesn't encourage terribly.
No, we don't encourage it, and more is the pity. But again, this is not paranoia night on the horn. This is all documentable. That lack of critical thinking is a function of right-wing attitudes toward education. You know, every time, and again, if you pay attention to this, or you go and look it up, you'll find it. Every time the Republican National Committee in a presidential election year issues its platform, it will have a plank in it calling for the elimination of the United States Department of Education.
Yeah, that's true. They do. Yes.
And
they want to get them away, yeah.
Right. And, you know, we don't want kids learning civics. We don't want kids really learning about government. We'd rather them to know about a constitutional provision that some preacher in some pulpit somewhere has told them exists, but doesn't really. You know, you've got teabaggers marching around all over the country, Aradia, who are complaining about violations of constitutional provisions that they only imagine exist.
Yeah, right. They don't look these things up. That's hard.
Sure. Like, things like, this is a Christian nation. No, really, it's not. Not bashing Christianity. It's just not.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it. There's a way on the front end to look at it and say, well, the teabaggers are this way because of this, and this, and the general political climate is poisoned because of Fox News, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also tons of background for how it got that way. And I just, at the tender age of 47, I just happened to have been paying attention for most of my life.
Yeah, you probably felt like a minority most of the time, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but, like, I work a lot with stuff like this, and Medicare really is getting cut back, not just Advantage, but a whole lot of other things. And I don't think it's because of any evil communist plot, but it's going to hurt a lot of people, including you and me, our generation.
Well, remember that Medicare was, of course, created during the Lyndon Johnson administration as part of the Great Society. And just as was the case with Social Security, the Republican Party hated it from the moment it was proposed, hated it the moment it was signed into law, hated it every minute of every day, and Republicans have told their sons and daughters, the sons and daughters have told the grandsons and the granddaughters, one day we will destroy it.
Although they don't mind using it while they have it.
Well, to the extent that, yeah, but along the way what they do is they weaken it a little bit here and a little bit there.
Yeah, each year it's going to get worse. I hope AARP or somebody will get that together. It's disgusting.
Well, ultimately, what we need to do is simply recognize that that we need universal single-payer health care.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And fund it appropriately. You know, if you consider the fact that, for instance, our military budget, the Pentagon budget of the United States, is larger than the budget, the military budgets of the next 15 countries combined, then you understand why we don't have single-payer health care. You understand why we have failing schools. You understand why we treat our elderly the way we do. Because, you know, it's all guns and no butter.
All they'd have to do is call home, you know, 5,000 people. That would help tremendously.
Yeah.
I really appreciate listening to this show. I really do.
Oh, it's a joy hearing from you. And please don't hesitate to call in anytime the mood strikes you or the spirit moves you, as the case may be.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye now. Iradia. Good to hear from her. Let's see. I want to get in an email real quick because it's long and it is thought-provoking, and then I'll try to get to our last phone caller. This from our buddy Glenn in the UK. He says, hello, Bob. You mentioned on your April 26th, 2010 show about how the right wing, the teabaggers, hate media, and so on, had done the most work to turn families, friends, and communities against one another. I've got personal examples of that happening from a couple of very good and decent families we had befriended while living in the U.S. In particular, a friend, David, thinks I'm a devil-worshipping communist who hates freedom and loves suicide bombers because I've dissented from the blunderbuss-style assertions he's echoed from the radical right hate radio. David was and is a good person. An intelligent, witty, kind, and generous person. The problem is that his mind has been poisoned and he regards the world outside his narrow field of understanding as evil, debauched, murderous, and hugely threatening to himself and his family personally. London and Europe generally are filled with suicide vest-wielding Muslims calling for death to Christians and whites, he tells me, even though he's never set foot outside the U.S. Gays fill the schools, preying on innocent children and brainwashing them as new recruits for the rapidly expanding gay movement. Marriage has no meaning as gays, again, and atheists work to achieve rampant infidelity, urging abortions and destruction of relationships. Communists seek to destroy all businesses, take hard-earned money from working people, and give it to the feckless and undeserving. And so it goes, on and on. Yes, indeed, the teabagging freaks led by the true-believing money-grubbers in politics and finance, their acolytes in multi-million-dollar jobs performing on hate radio and TV, have certainly done a fine job on him. He's suspicious and isolated. But above all, he's afraid of just about everything. People at home, everyone abroad, the government, schools, the lot. All he can be sure of is that his corporate-sponsored TV and radio will keep him informed, letting him know of new threats which the Republicans would be bravely tackling if only Acorn hadn't stolen the entire election apparatus. You're right, Bob. It's the media and teabagging racist cowards. They've managed to combine xenophobia, greed, selfishness, and ignorance, not to mention bigoted intolerance and religious zealotry, into something they can feel proud about. An entire movement, no less. I wonder how long they would last had they their wish that everyone was just like them. Beautiful, beautiful stuff, Glenn, and so, so true. And it happens day in and day out in families all over the United States of America. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Gerard again.
Hey, Gerard, what's up, man?
Well, I'll make it fast because I know you're up against the end of the show. I I just wanted to reference people to a thing I saw on YouTube actually after the show last night. If people go to YouTube and just search Naomi Wolf, there's a nice lecture she gave at, I believe it's the University of Seattle in 2007. And I have not read the book, but she was talking about her book, The End of America. And she cites, she's done some study and some research on the emergence of what happens when a closed society becomes closed. Looking at, of course, Nazi Germany, Stalin, Mussolini, all the stars in that
right
ilk. And one of the 10 steps is that one group is singled out to be the scapegoat. And in thinking of what you were talking, open the show with about immigration and what's going on in Arizona, which, just a little tidbit too, CNN reported today that actually there are more undocumented workers in Illinois than there is in Arizona.
You see what I was talking about with right to work?
Yeah. But, and another comment, kind of on the side, Alan Grayson on the Maher show last week said, this is the last throes of racism in Arizona because it will soon be a state where there are more copper-skinned people than there are white people. But having said that, I just wanted to add a little story that, well, just going back to Naomi Wolf's lecture, she brought up again which this took place in 2007, so she was talking about a lot of things that were current at that time, and one of the things was the student got tasered at the John Kerry campaign rally. You remember that, the University of Florida?
Yep. Don't tase me, dude.
Yeah. And that was, she talked about how, those who would gain advantage from that, they don't have to go out and taser everybody. They just have to taser a few and make sure it gets national coverage.
There you go.
You know. But the thing that it also reminded me of, and maybe you can refresh my memory because I'm not clear, what was the town, I believe it was in Iowa, where they had like 350 undocumented workers?
That was Postville, Iowa, at the slaughterhouse of run by Shalom Rubashkin.
Right. Now, when that happened, I remember this very clearly, that Democracy Now! Interviewed a professor from a Florida university, I don't know which one, but he was bilingual and would help out quite often in court cases in Florida. And they asked him to go to Iowa to help these undocumented workers understand what was about to happen to them. And one man in particular that I remember he told about is who was, when they told him that they had a choice, they could either be locked up and held in detention or deported back to where they came from, burst into tears because what was happening with a lot of these people is that the money that they earned at the slaughterhouse, you know, beyond what they kept just for survival, a lot of that money went back to their families in their home country. Well, this man had literally, this professor from Florida was talking to him about his background, and this man had walked from Guatemala to Iowa.
Yeah, it's not something, right, it's not something that's undertaken lightly.
Right.
And of course, and we do have to wrap up, but the fact of the matter is, people walk from Guatemala and from the Mayan Highlands and so forth, because NAFTA has absolutely devastated, Gerard,
right,
family farming, subsistence farming in those regions.
Right. Well, the only thing I guess I have to say to wrap up, if Duncan Hunter can meet his maker and say to him, I want to deport a guy who walked from Guatemala to earn a living to support his family, then I don't know what there is to say about that. You know, I just I don't know how those kind of people get elected. Of course, Duncan Hunter is also the guy who had to be, you know, when he was during the Bush administration, I believe he was the chair of the Armed Services Committee, and he was the one who basically had to be all but threatened to get, you know, flak jackets on the servicemen in Iraq, servicemen and women.
Right, right.
But
Gerard, good hearing from you, and have a good evening, and hopefully maybe we can pursue this later.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Bob.
Bye now. Gerard, calling from Indiana. And that will wrap up the program. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who have contributed to get us here on the next to last day of April within about $350 of making our monthly fundraising goal. Thank you. And it couldn't happen without you. Thanks to the people, other people that couldn't happen without, and that's the multifarious staff behind all the magic. It's Lottie in the chat room, John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch. It's our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Our Southeast correspondent is Matt Osborne at osborneinc.com. Go have a look and comment on the latest story if you feel like it. Good work on Matt's part. OSBORNEINK.com. And my head writer is David in Tennessee. The hardest working, bravest people I know are the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColRiverWind.org. They also help this to happen every month. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
Hey, and welcome to this Thursday evening program, Friday morning program. Somewhere in Outer Space program. Welcome to the latest edition of The Horn and Bob. It is the 29th day of April. April is almost done, almost over with, almost gone. Spring seems to be in full swing here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful, west by God, almost level Virginia. And it's awful pretty outside. This is one of those where I just, Agnes just about had to take the cattle prod out to get me into the studio. Because this is that time of day when the light around here is just exquisite. And there's nothing quite so pleasant as simply sitting in your cut yard and watching the sun go down. It's one of those things that happens as one gets older, the appreciation of simple pleasures. That's one of them. The simple pleasures end, of course, when the sun goes down, the mosquitoes come out. But we're not even quite there yet. It is just a lovely evening.